And Strauss-Lewis is one of the subjects that for some reason or other I find very easy to understand and you find very difficult to understand. I find it so easy to understand because without it, the world doesn't make sense. And with it, everything falls into place. You find it so difficult to understand for a reason that I cannot fathom. So it's the only thing I can... some women once told me that the reason they find it so difficult to understand is a twofold one. The one is that they've never heard of anything like that in their lives before, and they have to adapt themselves to a new way of thinking. And another reason is that they say that they have got to relate to it, and this is a new task for them, to relate to this type of thinking. So they are two very closely related reasons, and those are the reasons that have been given me. Now, yes?
I'm sorry to break in here, but could you give us, I know it doesn't give you the meaning of Hashtalsa, but is there a direct translation of Hashtalsa without the meaning, never mind?
The word that it comes from the word Shalshevish, which means a chain. So I've got a long chain, but the chain is a chain only because there are links, and each link is connected with the next link, and altogether it makes a chain.
Mm-hmm.
That is the word Hashtalsheves. It comes from the Hebrew word Shalsheves.
Okay.
So that is quite simple. Now, what I propose doing today is just taking... I'm going to take things that we did from August, really, August, September, and that is when we really broke up for this long spell, and bringing it up to where we left off. Now, I'm taking patches, but the most important patches. If you would turn to pages 76, 77 in your Derech Hashem, the last paragraph on that page. Now, it will be necessary for you, if possible, to have in front of you the chart that I prepared for you, if you remember that. You'll find find it easier to understand. And if you remember, I divided the page into two parts. On the right hand side is the physical universe. On the left hand side is the spiritual universe. Now, the physical universe consists of astronomical creations such as the sun, the moon, and the stars. It consists of terrestrial such as the earth, water, atmosphere, the minerals. All that belongs to the terrestrial. That is the physical universe. On the other side, we go to the spiritual universe, and of course we have got Hashem on top, but we are speaking about the created universe. So, the created universe, Hashem created what? Nivdolim. Nivdolim are transcendental beings. Really, the word means they are divided. They are completely divided from us. Transcendental beings and the created souls. Now, transcendental beings are never to come down to earth. Souls are to come down to earth. So if you remember, the soul comes down into man, and so man becomes a compound of the physical universe and the spiritual universe. On the one hand, he's made up of the elements of the earth, the dust of the earth. He's made up of calcium, of phosphorus, of all the chemicals and all the minerals are to be found. That is what the man is made up, which is he's part of the physical universe. Simultaneously, the soul which Hashem created goes into the man. And so the man is a combination of the physical and the spiritual. The transcendental beings again come down into Malochim and into Kochas. Malochim are angels and Kochas are forces. So they are angels and forces. I'm afraid you'll have to stop me as soon as you get lost in what I am describing to you, otherwise you're going to find yourselves in further difficulties. So anything you don't understand at this stage, please ask me. Yes?
Pardon me, is this supposed to be of the chain somehow from one down?
Well, we haven't come there yet.
Okay.
We haven't come to the chain yet. Now, when we speak about the transcendental beings, of course, they are completely without any physical form. These are powers and forces. So the transcendental beings are divided, come down. There are some that are malochim, which we translate as angels. Some are malochim, but they are, and some are forces. So what I'm going to do is, the malochim I'm going to call powers, and the kochos I'm going to call forces. So powers and forces, those are convenient English words. Those are forces, kochos. So powers and kochos. So now he says that everything, one of the fundamental principles that has come down to us and to be found in our hands, that is, that everything that is found down amongst the earthly things, amongst the earth, anything that is created and is to be found here on earth, there are to be found kochos nivdolim, transcendental powers and forces, shemehem mishtalshelim, and you've got the word mishtalshelim, shemehem mishtalshim ve'yotzim ashefolim heim u'mikreyim, and from those, I've missed out that part in brackets. It's easier. Okay, in that part with the in the dashes. Have you got that?
Mm-hmm.
I've just missed it. Shemehim mishtalshelim ashefolim heim u'mikreyim. So that which is here upon earth is there. You come. This is the chain effect. Everything that is found here comes from some of these forces above. Now I've got to try and explain it to you. You remember that last week I gave you the difference between Bino and Tmuno. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to do Tmuno, explaining to you what Tmuno is, trying to explain it to you on your level. What do you think is the most wonderful thing here in this room?
Wonderful from what point of view?
I don't try. Well, if you were to ask me, I'd say my wife. Is it an inanimate object? Yes. Yes, I'll take an inanimate object. What do you say is the most wonderful thing in this room?
Electric
lights. The electric lights. Fine. Most wonderful thing in this room. Has anybody got anything else to add to that? Is there anybody that thinks there's something more wonderful than the electric lights? Yes, Elizabeth?
I think electric lights, electricity. That includes the fridge, not the microwave.
Well, all right, now we're coming. So it's already the fridge and the microwave. Which is more wonderful, the fridge or the microwave?
Well, necessarily, it's wonderful.
I'm sure. The fridge, yes?
maybe the word that was given, you can do that in the dark too.
And that's good for a sermon. We are really down to earth. What about the television?
Well, that's also part of the trinity.
Yes, I want to get down to one thing, you see. What do you think about television? You think it is as wonderful as the microphone. It might not be as useful.
No, you want a hot cup of coffee, you can get that out of it.
It's certainly not as useful. Yeah. It's certainly not as useful. But you think it's less wonderful, as wonderful, more wonderful.
You're not talking utility, then I think it's more wonderful.
You think it's more, if you would not
think...
It's not
the utility, you're thinking of the action, obviously, the working
yes.
of it.
Yeah.
You're thinking of a candlestick.
Yeah, look, I'm going to do something with you. I'm going to do something with you. Now, of all these things, the fridge, the microwave, the radio, the television, the aeroplane, it's all these things are very wonderful. Now, we'll take one of these, we'll take the television, take the microwave. And I would say, from where does this originate? The Niagara Falls. Does that make sense or doesn't make sense?
Uh-huh.
The Niagara Falls, what happens? In the Niagara Falls, this tremendous power, that power is harnessed, that power is converted into electricity, the electricity is converted into all these different waves, visionary waves, what it was, light waves, sound waves, all it's translated into that. That again is harnessed and put into the television, into the microwave, all these things. But what is the origin of it all? The Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. Now, go and tell an Alpacian farmer that the telephone that he's got, and to him that's the most wonderful thing because he hasn't got anything beyond that, that the telephone and the Niagara Falls, that's from where it comes. Can he understand it? He's got no idea of it. So you explain his Talshavis to him. He says, look, I can't understand it. I've never heard of this before. And you may want me to relate to something that I've got to adapt myself. It would take me years and years to adapt myself to it. That's the most clever thing he said for many years. Mm-hmm. Now, but that is an example of the Stalschulis. So you've got the power from the Niagara Falls. Can you see that power? That power is harnessed. When it is harnessed, it's converted into electricity. When it is electricity, it is converted to power. The power is converted to electricity. The electricity is then put into sound waves, a light wave. Then it's taken together and it's worked into a radio and the television and all the sort of things. But what is the source of it? What's the beginnings of it? The beginnings of that is the Niagara Falls. So, and all this belongs to the physical universe. So even in the physical universe, we've also got the idea to some measure of Gestaltulus. You follow what it is?
Yes.
But what we are saying here, what the Masiva Shoshorim is saying, and what the Torah teaches us is that it goes back much further than that. And it starts from Hilchos Nivdolim, forces which are transcendental, and they appear to have nothing to do with what is here upon earth. But these forces are links in a chain, and they come down to us, and they change as they go from world to world. And now I'm telling you something else. And that is that there are innumerable worlds from the source of everything until it takes the shape and the form of what it is here upon earth. Vast differences. These are all worlds, and it goes through all these different worlds, and in each world it presents itself in the form of that world. That is how it presents itself there, in a form that is suitable for that particular world. And to give you an old example of mine, and that is, the physicist today has got his own world. He is living in his own world. And because he is living in a different world, he is able to harness certain powers. He can harness atomic power. It's because he is working in another world. And when he's working in another world, and he takes hydrogen, what does he do with it? He takes the hydrogen, or he takes water, and he divides the water, he makes oxygen and hydrogen, and now it's no longer a liquid, but it's a gas, and now you're in another world. You're no longer in the material world, but now you are gaseous. You're living in another world. That is the physicist's world. And he takes this hydrogen, divides it further into its parts, until by fission or by fusion, he is able to create this tremendous power. So, these are the different worlds through which it comes. And that is what he's telling us here. The Nimsoi is the very last word. The Nimsoi Ma'atilkosohev Shoroshim La'Nimsoim Ha'Shefonim U'Eileh. So it works out that those powers and forces which are completely spiritual are to be found yet upon earth. Now at this stage I just want to deal with something that it took me a very long time to analyze to my satisfaction and to come to a conclusion. Now we've also got powers here upon earth that we deal with. The simplest of all the forces is a gravitation. That if we throw anything out, then it is pulled down. That is an invisible force. But this is one of the forces with which we deal. In fact, to such an extent that since and gravitation is dependent upon mass, and since the moon has not got the mass of the earth, it hasn't got sufficient mass to keep down moisture, and so there's no atmosphere on the moon. And these new moons that they found around this new planet, what was the planet's name? Neptune. They found these new several moons, and what was so remarkable about it, that when Voyager went up, he sent back a message that there was atmosphere on these moons. They were so big, the moons were so big, that there was a gravitational force. Now we are speaking about a gravitational force. Does it belong to the physical universe or to the spiritual universe? Physical universe. It still belongs to the physical universe, although it is something that one cannot see, but it belongs to the physical universe. And so this is one of the very remarkable things that the Rabbeinu Shlomo has done for us. And what I'm saying now is really in parenthesis for the whole shiur, and that is, in the physical universe, which is our universe, which is the universe in which we live, it's the universe in which we operate. In this universe, he has given us the opportunity to see some, to get some insight of the spiritual universe. For example, you take grace. You take your sequoia seed that weighs 1/6,000th of an ounce. Put it into the ground, and eventually you get a sequoia tree. This huge tree that when it's fully grown, you can cut through a road through the tree through which a motor car can pass. this little seed. Now, that is rest. Go and explain. Go and explain. Now, we've got light waves, sound waves, we've got magnetism, we've got gravitation, we've got electricity. Yeah, we've got these forces. They are invisible forces, but they are forces. So our shape shows us these in the physical world itself, and that is part of the chesed of Hashem. In the physical world itself, he gives us some idea of what takes place in the spiritual world. And an example I've given you is that we are told that on the Olam HaEmes, man sees, he shows everything that he's done in his life and that he's said in his life. He's shown that and he's able to hear it. I'm afraid to face my great grandparents one day, because they are going to say, we didn't have wireless television, radio, cinemas, records, gramophones. We didn't have these things. And yet we believe. And yet you've got it. A man is long dead. You see his pictures. You see what he does. He acts, takes part in the play. You can see he's been dead 50 years already, 20 years. You can see it. You can hear him speak. Look how easy it is for us to believe in it. So Hashem gives us all these opportunities. Excuse me, I just want to give myself some
water. Yeah.
Sounds like
it. Yes. Hello? Yes. Oh, hello, Mrs. Sosa. How are you? Good. How's Dorothea? Mr. Stokes, we're just in the middle of a shear. Can we speak to you perhaps after the shear? Or is that too late? It will be about 20 to 10. Pardon? Please, if you don't mind, it's not too late for you. Fine. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. So can you... Oh, well, if you've got to get out the knife, also get out. Sorry.
Who's
that? Yes,
Cooper. Oh, that's fine.
That's too fine. Thank you, Barbara.
Right. Now... this I'm just putting into parentheses, and I've got a theory that one of the reasons that man lives longer today than he used to live, and that what is far more important is that he's able, he's got his mental alertness to a much later age than he used to have. This is one of the Chasdei Hashem, and that he's doing for us at this particular time when there's so much materialism in the world and one goes so far away from anything that is spiritual, gives us the opportunity to observe in life, more time to observe, and the changes that are taking place and the discoveries that are being made. And now with communications, we are only on the periphery of the greatest discoveries. And all this is given to us, this opportunity is given to us to increase and deepen our belief in our faith. Now, let us go back to that. Old Masoris Biodeinu, she al kol etzim v'chol mikre shebanim so'ima shefolimu eile hupkidu v'kili min asuda malochi shenuchavnu lemailo. Now he says another thing here, and we won't be able to understand this fully until we have dealt with the next part, part two of this work, where he deals with it in greater detail, and I will deal with it in the Shabbat afternoon shiur that I'm giving now on the subject of assimilation, acclimatization, and authenticity, this comes into it also. And Hashem has appointed, Hashem has, so to say, appointed a power over everything that is on earth. And that is the power that influences that which takes place on earth. It will become a little clearer as we go on. So you see, in the next paragraph, paragraph Grimmel, and paragraph 3, pages 78 and 79, in paragraph 3, he says, but the reality of the world really is in those powers. The soldiers, and the issues, the consequences, is what we find here upon earth. So the source is really there. So if one wants to know what is all behind this, the electric lights, the microwave, the fridge, the television, the radio, what is behind it all, and a person wants to go to the source of it, he's got to go to the power of electricity. He's got to go to the Niagara Falls and see how that power there is harnessed, how they harness that power. Then you begin to understand it. So the reality is to be found there. And so he says the reality of everything that is here upon earth is to be found in these forces. Now, let us go to paragraph 4. We are still on last year's semester's work. V'nei lefi shoresh zeh, and according to this principle, dechivas kol ha'avoyas l'ma'alo b'kochus v'yodin, the beginnings of everything that there is upon earth is above, is in the spiritual universe. The selfum l'mato, and the end is yet upon earth. So the beginning of everything is in this, everything that is in the physical universe, the beginnings of it is in the spiritual universe. Now, he says, there is, however, one great exception. And now you can sit back for a little while and take it easy. If there are these forces, so over every person there is a force. Over every person there is a power. Over everything, even over a blade of grass that grows, there is a power. Without that power, it cannot be. The sequoia seed that I am so fond of, and is going to be planted into the ground, and is growing, is going to become a sequoia tree, there is a force that Hashem has appointed over it, and it is that force that influences it, that influences the growth and everything that takes place until it becomes that tree. Every person has got a maloch or a power over it, but in the person there's a very great difference. And that is, now comes the whole question of the hero. Man has got free determination of will. Where he's got free determination of will, he's not influenced from above. Then the very reverse takes place. In man, he's not influenced from above, but he influences other forces. Man is able to influence, whether by his deeds, even by his words, and sometimes by his thoughts, he is able to influence other forces. Now, the Derech Hashem speaks about that, but what he tells us is, that it all is according to a certain system. So when a man does something, whatever he does is influenced, whether it is good or it is bad. Now, I'm sure you all have the experience where somebody is coming to your home and he has brought into that home a spirit of intellectuality and spirituality. I'm sure you've all experienced that you've taken a person into your home and he has brought into that home a spirit of contamination and defilement. Anybody not had that experience?
I have had that experience, but I've had a more very interesting, where we had both at the same time.
Oh.
You feel going that way.
So you've got these two, these are influences. Now, the person who raises the whole atmosphere of the home, what does he do? He's only a person by what he says, by the way he conducts himself, by what he does, raises the whole atmosphere of the house. The other one brings it down. He degrades it, he contaminates it, he defiles it. That is the influence that the person has. Now, these are visible things to us. These are visible things, these are tangible already, we can see it. How much more so otherwise? Well, we know the influence. We know the influence of teachers in the 50s and in the 60s, what they did with their students. They ruined their students for life. Not everyone, but so many of them. And I told you the sad story that was seen in Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley. Is that what it's called? Telegraph Avenue. And I remember some years ago I had a shiner from some students in Berkeley. They said, is it all right to can they reckon it's a doctor if they give money to these people? And I'd never heard of them. I was speaking about them. I said, you must know that they are not Jews. And the thing is, we do give tzedakah to goyim, but you've got to know that there's a difference between it. And so they looked at me, they said, no, these people are Jews. And you can imagine how shocked I was, and they described to me what these people look and what they do. And they, if they give them 50 cents, they go into the Salvation Army and they buy something to eat with it. Straight, of course. What do they know? Now, what influence is, this is influence. What is so remarkable about the human being is that he is influenced and he influences. So a malach is set over him, but he has got the chiro, he's got free determination of will. So what he does is, with his free determination of will, he creates that which is deterministic. And so, he has an influence on the source or the sources. And then it works back again. And those sources have an influence here. So that is the way it works. And that is what he describes until we get, let us say we can go now to pages 80 and 81, and we are still not where we left off. And in 80 and 81, the second paragraph, the Ulam Tzorich Sheteda, that is the Hebrew is the Ulam Tzorich Sheteda. Oh, there's just one very important part that I've got to do with you. He says here, in the paragraph about that, he says that the influence that man has, man can only, since man is material, materialistic and earthly and physical, so he can influence only that which is materialistic and physical and earthly. But since he is also spiritual, because of the soul that is in him, also because of this, he can influence the powers that govern him. I think that that brings us really to where we left off on pages 82 and 83. We finished paragraph 6, we're at the beginning of paragraph 7. And we can go on from paragraph 7. Now, I just want to give you some further ideas about the idea of these Talshilus. But before I go any further, are you feeling a little more comfortable with it or not? Yes, that's the way I lace my gloss.
My husband will not let me throw the cloth away. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Is it not closed for you? That door's open, you know.
No, it's closed.
Oh, it just closed. Oh, thank you. Hi, Becca.
Yes.
I'm not sure. The last sentence that you said. You said that man influences material and physical, but he also influences the spiritual that governs him. Is that what the last
thing? Yes, directly he influences the material things. But the material things influence the spiritual things. So via the material influences, I'm just trying to give you an example of it as I'm speaking. Now, I'm giving you an example. 2 years ago, when I was in South Africa, I bought shirts. They were comfortable shirts. When I took off my shirt, I didn't have to undo my link, which made it very easy for me. When I was in South Africa a year ago, I bought the same shirt, the same make. But now, when I take off my shirt, I've got to undo my links. And in the morning, I've got to put it back again, which takes me extra minutes. That means which takes me extra seconds, and those seconds I'm late for sure. Now, what have they done? Furthermore, my pajamas, when I used to wash, I used to put up my pajama sleeves. Now, my pajama sleeves just go as far as here. So if I want to wash, I've got to take off my jacket and wash it. Can't do this anymore. What have they done? Mm-hmm. Pardon? Mm-hmm. Yes, they're skimping. They're skimping. Now, I noticed it coming a long time. I said, good heavens, just look at it there. It used to be a friendly. My wife said, no, you're getting fat. You can't argue, you see. You can't argue there. But now I've got the proof. Because I've got the old shirts. You can't put on the old shirts. It's beautiful, I've got heaps of it. So they are skimping. Now, this in truth is a very serious matter. That means that the person or people who are making them are not in the least bit interested in the person who's going to wear them. We've got somebody who comes in to clean up the house a little bit. There were a couple of things lying on my study floor. I think it was still from the earthquake. So I thought, oh, this woman comes on Friday. She'll clean out my study. I go into my study. When I come back, I have been out on Friday. I go on. Study's been cleaned. Still on the floor. She hoovered it. What do you call hoovered it? She vacuum cleaned it. On the floor. Take no pride in it. He's not interested. I've got to go up and down on all fours and pick it up. Now to do that is under my desk. I have to do that. It's not only a case of no pride. No thought for another one. For the person for whom you are working. You're getting paid for it. It's your work. No thought. The shirts are getting skimpier and skimpier. It's getting more difficult for me. Now, look what they do. They make me late for sure. Only a few seconds is still in it. It's extra. I just can't unroll up my feet. I've got to take my jacket. It all takes I'll get late. I'm late for sure already. A few seconds, a minute late, 2 minutes late. Now, look at the difference. If the person is interested, that the person who wears it should be comfortable. Takes it all into them. No, I'm going to make this sleeve a little bit wider so that we don't have to undo the links. Takes it all into consideration. Don't make the shirt so skimpy, can move that body. Remember, he bought your uncle a shirt and how thrilled he was with years ago. Yes, bought a cousin of mine a shirt from Austin Reed. Austin Reed is there. I don't know if it still exists. But this is one of those shops that they wanted clearly customers should enjoy. I bought a cousin of mine a shirt, he couldn't get over it. He said, I've never had a shirt like this. Now, when a person does that, it's a physical thing that he is doing. That has an effect. Through the physical thing that he does, that has an effect. And its effect, it can be. Now, I can't tell you for certain, but this is the way my mind works. That there is more chesed from Hashem on earth because of what he does. Because he does that, it's a purely material thing. But wants the person who wears it to be comfortable, wants him to be saved time, through that it's a purely physical thing. But it's a chesed, it takes into consideration what that can do. So it influences the powers in the spiritual world, influences the power of chesed, that there is more chesed down on earth today. In the physical world, there is more chesed. And I'm making it a bit clearer. Mm-hmm. Now, so we've got it. Now, just want to go through some things that I've gone through already. But I want you to get me a little bit. How are you finding this situation? Have you got a given me the idea better?
I had the idea, but it's been 2 years ago.
Yes, of course. I've done it. Any questions on that we've done so far? Okay. Yes.
Well, since we have a visual, I think it makes, for me, it makes it very, very clear. And what I'm hearing is that I seem to want to draw some kind of a line here from the kochos.
Yes.
You know, maybe a dotted one. onto the other side, onto the...
That's right, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
I haven't done it on the chart.
Right.
I've just given you the basis for it, you see. But now what is happening is that these kochos are going that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're quite right, it's not only going vertically, but it's going the horizontal. Of course, that's absolutely right.
But can I assume then that as they go back and forth, when man does something that is good, that is truly good, and influences the co-host,
yes,
then that magnifies that good. And when it comes back, you talked about the world.
Yes.
It goes through all the world.
But the point is, and that is my next point, it assumes a different form in all these ways. It assumes a form that is suitable for it. For example, in my world, I work with water. In the liquid, in the physicist's world, he doesn't even work with the gas. Because he doesn't even work with the gas. He doesn't work with oxygen and hydrogen. He works with the particles in there. All these, but doesn't know how many particles there are. He's working with all these powers in the atom. And the geneticist. Well, you've also got the anatomist. The anatomist works with the body of the human being. The physiologist works more with the parts of the human. The geneticist, he was working with the cells of the human. And now you go down to those who are specialists, not in the, not only in the cell, but in the chromosome. And then those who are given something, now you get specialists in the genes. So, and so it goes, so the word is the business of geneticists. So he asked him a question. If you don't want my lecture. Now, it is such a bad thing to have said from a general agent. Fortunately, it was a little bit immature at that lecture.
Yes, yes, sir.
But in America, maybe in university, we were called my senior, but we became very great friends afterwards. Are really in the tree, and he got up and very, very delicately explained what it was. And of course, every agent goes to the reason. But if they think it's not his word, you see, then he doesn't mean it, but it's not his word. That's what it was. And I have several examples of it in various ways. I heard Edward said, a lecturer by Lord Hill on a terrible road to justice, he called this lecture the road to justice. But Mr. Dunbar was included in the ceremony of the Golden Age of Thought.
Mr. Fraser, I found
it out. Jack Greenberg, who is one of the great lawyers, he proposed the vote of thanks. While this is a Lord Justice of Appeals, in England, well, then it's well, I mean, it is so simple, there is nothing in it to describe some of the cases that we have to agree with, that we have to think of, or that we have to say, there's a textbook paper, and anybody knows anything about the law. It is really nothing in it. And then God will go to school and have to give it out to them. So do you. That's the same thing I say to them. In 2000, the field of me, just lift it up, bend it the same, and in the company of it. And then we have the professor Davis and Scholar goes back to the best of God's name. And made this come and invited us to be present in the leadership. And in particular, he was in the church. And here, Professor Scholar, Davis and Scholar, droned on. And we had the crew of London there. It was the literature that led him. And it was just too interesting to learn. It was uninteresting. It was, it didn't mean anything. It was turned on for minutes and I was 30 minutes. And then they discovered in the church, and then he told the church, so I was out of the music of the church. Not a breath of fresh air, and this is a storm of fresh air after them, but what a difference it was. And Gershwin was just, he was living in another world, you see, in an isolated world, and he wasn't living in any other world. This is a guy who is just talking to himself, not a religious great mind. You can get the sort of thing even in our urban lives we experience it. But we are people who live in a different world. Because they always tell me, I am very naive. I don't know what's really happening in me, but they're probably right. Because I don't live in that world. I don't know what's happening. So this is something that we've got to realize. I'll just give you one of three examples that I've prepared for you, and that was the task for this evening, and I'll carry on with the other examples next week. I should have said to Avraham, a Melchi Melchi Melchi. Avraham, out you go, don't be afraid. Hashem says, I am a shield to you. saying the various extents. What is our brain got to be afraid of that Hashem says to him, when I am a shield, don't be afraid of what I am a shield to you. What is he got to be afraid of? And the Midrash explains that Avraham is afraid of the following. He has just fought a battle with the kings, having won the battle. Minority. He knows that God must have helped him to win that battle. So he is afraid that he is receiving his payment for any good that he has done through that winning that battle. And Hashem says to him, according to the Midrash, don't be afraid. Whatever I give you as a gift. This is no gift. Nothing will not be paid for what you give. Now, we've got to understand what kind of payment you've got to give it at. First of all, the Nimrod told him that he's the only person in his own kingdom that doesn't accept the idolatrous beliefs and practices of that kingdom. And Avraham says, well, I can't help it if I don't believe in it. He said, well, unless you believe in it, and you stop speaking about your beliefs, I'm going to kill you. So Avraham says, in that case, you have to kill me, because I'm not going to stop. So he throws him into the fiery furnace. Avraham doesn't know that he's going to be saved, but that is his first great test, and he is saved. So it's a miracle that happened to him. Then he works on people, and they accept his beliefs and his practices, men and women. He does all that good. Now he is in Eretz Israel, and he wins this battle in order to save Lot, and he's afraid that he will pay for his good deeds. What kind of payment is this for his good deeds? Is this any kind of payment? If a man works on a project for a big firm for 2 months, and eventually he finishes the project and that is the blueprint, he says, wonderful, you know, I'm so pleased with you. I'm taking you out for dinner tonight. Is that all? I'm taking you out for dinner tonight. What kind of payment is this for what he's done? What kind of payment is that? And that is something that you've got to understand. And Avraham is afraid of it. You think God is going and then take you down upon earth for the things you did. It's temporal. What meaning is it, God? And yet he's afraid that he's been. What is the reason for it? Let us end it on that note. And we'll discuss this next week. And there are several examples like that. That is one from the Torah. We've got one example from the Gemara. We've got 2 examples from the Midrash, and then we've got 4 examples. The only thing you've got to remember is that when a child does something good, you give him a piece of candy. He goes to the Cheder and he learns and he knows a bunch of Kurdish. Well, they will be ready to give him a piece of candy. When he gets older, you can't give him a piece of candy anymore. Now you can give him a bicycle. Can't give him candy anymore. You can't blame that. You've got to give him a bicycle. Has the candy got anything to do with the Parsha of Chumash? Has the bicycle got anything to do with the Parsha of Chumash? When he gets still older, and he masters it, and he's proud of it, and he's explained it beautifully, what do you want? What do you want to give you?
to which it is called visit. This is my reward, that I understand it so well, you know what it means to me. This is my reward. Oh, now we are at a different level altogether. So his reward is in the action itself, in the deed itself, is the reward. That's where the reward is. It's not outside of it. It's in the deed itself. That is what reward is. When we speak reward of doing good, it is in the deed itself. Whatever it might be. Give you another example. When a man goes to medical school, he's got to go to pre-medical, and then he works through medical school. Know what it is to work through medical school. And then he's got to go to internship. And they tell me that they work in 36 hours at a shift. I can't understand why they do this to them. 36 hours at a stretch they've got to work. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? What reward am I going to get? They don't. How much do they pay me? They stop paying me. How much do they pay me? Oh, I can't even go in and buy a sandwich for every meal that I want. How much do they pay me? Is this the reward I get? He's been in his stewardship, and then he goes into practice. The first year he makes $100,000 clear. After he's paid off his insurance and his premiums, $100,000 clear. Another one doesn't do so well, $95,000. Now, that reward, it's not candy, it's not a bicycle, it's not a motor car, it's not an aeroplane. It's out of what he has done. And so you've got to remember that any reward that we have, it is out of what we've done. It is the fruit, literally, of what we have done. That is the key to it, and we'll talk about it from there. Thank you.
Elizabeth. Hmm. Can I just ask the ladies, is anybody interested in Schurkenmacher, who's in Palo Alto? If we could get away for a day, would anybody be interested in in having a sip or yourself?